الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال تعالى شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه ومن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My dear respected elders and brothers, today is the 28th of Shaban and tomorrow inshallah brothers will be looking for the Hilal, the crescent or the new moon. And upon the sighting of the new moon, the Mubarak month of Ramadan will dawn upon us. And together with that, the mercies and the barakats and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also descend upon us. Or the doors of the mercy and the rahmat and the barakats of Allah will open up. Sahaba kiram used to wait eagerly for the coming of the month of Ramadan. It is reported by the tabi'een that 6 months prior to the coming of the month of Ramadan, Sahaba ikram used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Allah, let me see the month of Ramadan. The dua that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the month of Rajab, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa balighna Ramadan, is for us to become eager and to wait for the month of Ramadan, to create that enthusiasm for the month of Ramadan. Oh Allah, bless me in the month of Rajab and Shaban, وَبَلِّغْنَا رَمَضَانَ and let me see the month of Ramadan. Another dua that has been taught to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, اللهم سلمني لرمضان وسلم رمضان لي وسلمه لي متقبلا. اللهم سلمني لرمضان, oh Allah, keep me well and healthy for the month of Ramadan. It should not be that the month of Ramadan dawns upon us and then we find ourselves in the hospital, or we are sick, or there's some ailment, some difficulty which will make it, you know, unbearable for us to perhaps fast or to perform the Taraweeh or to make tilawat of the Quran, etc. So prior to the coming of the month of Ramadan, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Sahaba Kiram this dua that Allahumma sallimni li Ramadan, oh my Allah, keep me well and healthy for the month of Ramadan. وَسَلِّمْ رَمَضَانَ لِي and oh my Allah, make Ramadan such, the month of Ramadan, conducive for me so that I may be able to fulfill the different ibadats in the month of Ramadan. It should not be that perhaps there's some catastrophe, an earthquake or famine or floods or some problem like certain parts of the world. Certain parts of the world, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. But they will be going through a very difficult month of Ramadan. So therefore we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَسَلِّمْ رَمَضَانَ لِي and make Ramadan easy for us. There must be salamati, no calamity upon us during that month of Ramadan. وَسَلِّمْهُ لِي مُتَقَبِّلًا and make Ramadan such that when we have completed the month of Ramadan, then it is acceptable in the courts of Allah. Allah has accepted our ibadats and whatever we have done in the month of Ramadan. So this du'as that have been taught to us by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in order to create that eagerness, that enthusiasm, that desire for the coming of the month of Ramadan. In other words, everybody should be waiting, when will the moon be sighted? Making dua that the moon must be sighted, so that the doors of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be opened up. The rebellious shayateen are going to be locked up. And the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmat and the mercy of Allah will be now spread upon the entire ummah. But we should understand that the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always descending upon the ummah and upon mankind. At all times. But in the month of Ramadan, there are certain special mercies of Allah that descend. And the special barakat and rahmat of Allah descends upon the ummah at large. But other than that, throughout the year, there are moments and opportunities whereby a person can draw from the treasures of Allah, from the rahmat and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the month of Ramadan, upon the dawning of the month of Ramadan, rebellious shayateen are chained up, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala special mercies dawn upon. Therefore in the hadith it has been mentioned that awwaluhu rahma, the first 10 days of the month of Ramadan is where the mercies and the barakat, the blessings of Allah descends. Wa awsatuhu maghfira, the middle 10 days of the month of Ramadan is where Allah starts to forgive countless people, many people throughout the world. From the billions of Muslims that are in the world, Allah forgives many, many people. Wa akhiruhu itkum minan niran, and the last 10 days Allah gives guarantee to many persons that you are now saved from the fire of Jahannam. Ulama explain and they say the first 10 days when the doors of the mercies of Allah and barakat and blessings are opened up, then these barakat and blessings can be attained, can be achieved, can be gained through certain amals and certain ibadat. When we engage ourselves in those ibadat, then we will be drawing from that mercy, we will be receiving those mercies. But if we become oblivious and neglectful of those amals and those ibadats, then we will be deprived of Allah's blessings and Allah's mercies, which has been given to the ummah at that time. So they also explain, ulama explain and they say, the first 10 days of the month of Ramadan, when the mercies of Allah descends, and the ummah now begins to engage in those amals and ibadats, then they drawing from the mercies of Allah, and then they continue in this way, going on to the next 10 days, now Allah starts to forgive everybody. Why? Because they persevered the first 10 days in those amals and those ibadats. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to forgive, forgiving and washing away the gunas and sins. Because in the first 10 days of the month of Ramadan, we made tawbah, we made istighfar, after Taraweeh, in between the four rakats of Taraweeh, at the time of iftar, at the time of sehri, we made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we asked Allah for forgiveness. Now Allah starts to forgive, starts to wash away our gunas and sins. So the middle 10 days, Allah forgives. And many, many people get forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last 10 days, as the ummah is getting forgiven, those who have been seeking the forgiveness of Allah, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of your constant and your perseverance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gives you the guarantee that you are free from the fire of Jahannam. Allah has granted you that itkum minan niran. You have been granted freedom from the fire of Jahannam. But my dear respected elders and brothers, as I mentioned, that the doors of Allah's mercy, barakat and blessings are opened upon the sighting of the moon. But to draw these mercies, to gain these mercies and barakat, there are certain amals and ibadats that we must engage ourselves in. Upon the sighting of the moon, the first ibadat that besides the farais of deen, which is all the time throughout the year, is that of the taraweeh, the 20 rakats of taraweeh, which is established from the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, given some tartib and form in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and from that day up to this day in the harams, and many parts of the world, in almost every masjid of the world, 20 rakats of taraweeh is taking place. As far as taraweeh is concerned, there's two sunnats to taraweeh. One is the 20 rakats of taraweeh that is being performed and read, the namaz, the salah itself, And together with that, the listening of the entire Quran in Taraweeh. Listening of Quran, the entire Quran in Taraweeh, that is a sunnat on its own as well. The rewards for both is separate, and you will get reward for both. One is the Taraweeh itself, and then together with that you get the reward for the listening of the entire Quran in Taraweeh. There's a riwayat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that for every sajda that you make in Taraweeh, you get 1500 rewards. For every sajda that you make in Taraweeh, so by the end of the 20 rakats of Taraweeh, you have earned yourself 60,000 rewards and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we said this is awwaluhu rahmah. The first part is where the mercies of Allah is descending, and you continue in this trail. You are drawing from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to give the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that on the day of Qiyamah you have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds every excuse to put you into Jannat and not to put you into Jahannam. So when we read this Taraweeh, for every sajda that you make, you're getting 1500 rewards. By the end of the Taraweeh, 60,000 rewards just for the 20 rakats of Taraweeh. And then, the reciting of the Quran in Taraweeh, there was a time, when to find a hafiz al-Quran was so difficult in our country. And like that, you'll find many other parts of the world. Many other parts of the world, for them to find a hafiz al-Quran is very difficult. Alhamdulillah, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now from our country, we are exporting huffaz. They're going to the different parts of the world and they're performing taraweeh. At least making it possible for the people out there to listen to the entire recital of the Quran. There was a zamana and a time when they used to only read alam tara taraweeh. Taraweeh was only read from Alam Tara to Surah Nas. Now Allah has given us the opportunity to listen to the entire recital of the Quran. And we should make shukr to Allah. We should express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you make shukr to Allah, Allah will grant you more. Allah will give you more opportunities. But if you are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, I'll give you less. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then my punishment is very severe. If you show gratitude, Allah gives you more. But if you are ungrateful, Allah didn't say, I give you less. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my punishment is very severe. Ulama explain and they say that the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different forms. Generally, what we understand azab and punishment to be, and calamity to be, a tsunami, an earthquake, you know, and an accident, we regard all these things to be great calamities. But greater than this calamity is salb tawfiq, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away understanding, or Allah takes away opportunity of fulfilling those amals and those ibadats which Allah made so easy for you. There was a zamana when it was very difficult to hear the entire Quran in Salah. Now in every area, some town, some areas, there are 10 different places where the entire Quran is being recited in Taraweeh. Allah has given us the opportunity. And you find a person reading 8 rakats and 10 rakats and walking away from there. What gratitude are we showing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So one is the reciting of the entire Quran in Taraweeh, and the other is the Taraweeh Salah itself. It has, the ulama explained and said, Taraweeh is sunnatul mu'akkada, and emphasized sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, the term sunnat or sunnatul mu'akkada is not, these are terminologies which the ulama and the fuqaha have made for our understanding. But it doesn't mean that if it is not farz, then we leave it out. No. It is a sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should hold on to every sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is an emphasized sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I mentioned, the mercies of Allah are descending. It is through these amals and these ibadahs that we will be able to achieve and draw those mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala onto our side. As far as the tilawat of the Quran in Taraweeh is concerned, we should listen to the tilawat of the Quran in Taraweeh with eagerness. We should be happy to listen to the Quran. This will create a love for Quran. We should have love for Quran. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates people by means of this book. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَدَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. In a hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the status of many by virtue of this kitab, by virtue of this book. Tilawat of this Quran, respect and adab for this Quran. Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayhi, a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was known as Bishr Hafi because he used to walk bare feet. He had this, this azmat and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much in his heart that he used to feel ashamed of walking on this ground that Allah has made. On this earth that Allah has made, he should feel shy and ashamed of walking with his shoes. Therefore, he used to walk bare feet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such because of his adab and ihtiram. Allah made it such that wherever Bishr Hafi used to walk, no animal, no bird, or any other creature used to make any excreta or make that place na-park. That place used to always remain park for Bishr Hafi rahmatullah. One day a person was going past a certain alley or certain road with which Bishr Hafi used to walk upon. And he saw some mess there, some animal dirt, some animal excreta. And immediately he exclaimed, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Bishr Hafi has passed away." Because he realized that Allah had made that wherever Bishr Hafi used to walk. But how did he get that maqam and that status? How did he reach that position? Before wilayat, Bishr Hafi, rahmatullah alayhi, was a drunkard. Most of his day was spent in the pub. One day, coming out in the late part or the late afternoon or the late part of the day from the pub, as he's walking out, in the drunken state of his, he finds on the floor some pages of the Quran, the Kalam of Allah. He looks at it. In the drunken state of it, with adab and ihtiram, he picks it up. He puts it upon his head. He takes it home. He cleans those pages. And he puts it on a very high place. And then he flops on the bed and he passes out. And the next morning, he was back again in the pub. But that night, another wali of Allah sees in a dream that, oh, so and so, go to the pub and get Bishr Hafi out there. He has respected our word and we shall grant him honor and respect. So this wali of Allah goes to the pub. But now he doesn't know how to enter. He doesn't know what to do. Obviously, how is he going to enter the pub? So from outside he starts to scream and shout for Bishr Hafi. Oh, Bishr Hafi, oh, Bishr Hafi. So then Bishr Hafi stands up in the pub amongst his friends. And he says that this is a calling for me. I shall never return to this place again. Allah grants him hidayat. And then thereafter Allah grants him such a maqam and such a state as I mentioned. Why? Because of adab and ihtiram for Quran, love for Quran. Ikrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to take Quran. He used to kiss it. He used to put it on his head. And he say, "Hada kalamu rabbi, hada kalamu rabbi." Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, that just learning one ayat of the Quran, learning one ayat of the Quran is better for you than the seven heavens and the seven earth. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to have classes for people to learn Quran. And he used to go from person to person, teaching them one ayat of the Quran he used to teach. And he used to say to them, he used to teach one person one ayat, go to the next one, ask him which was the last one, so that I can teach you the next verse. And upon every verse that he used to teach them, he used to say that learn this verse because it is better for you than the seven heavens and the seven earth. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to also say that just looking at a verse of the Quran written somewhere, looking at a verse of the Quran, what azmat, what greatness to these words of Allah. It is the kalam of Allah. Just looking at a verse of the Quran written somewhere, it is better for you than the seven heavens and the seven earth. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that I do not want even a day to pass in my life and I did not open the Quran and look into the Quran and read from the Quran. When Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was made shaheed, he was busy in the tilawat of the Quran at the time when he was made shaheed. And he left behind the copies of the Quran that were tattered and torn because of excessive recital of the Quran. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding that these are the amals that by means of which we are going to draw the rahmat and the mercy of Allah. First is the taraweeh, the listening of the entire Quran in taraweeh, together with that getting up for the sehri in the morning, then fasting for the entire day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, man sama ramadana imana wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhambi. Whosoever fasts in the month of Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, with complete yakin and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the rewards and the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa ihtisaban, with this yakin that definitely Allah is going to reward me for this roza and fast, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all your past sins. Allah will forgive all your sins, your gunas and your sins. And likewise, the hadith continues, man qama ramadana imana wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhambi. And whoever stands up in prayer, in salah, in taraweeh, etc., in the nights of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all your gunas and sins. So as far as taraweeh, fasting, etc. is concerned, one is we have to become particular about it. It should not be that the first part of Ramadan we enjoy, or the first few days, and then as Ramadan continues, we get behosh after that. We fall unconscious after that. Like ino josh. We have to be constant in it. Have this azam. Have this, like a resolution. That this Ramadan, I'm not going to miss one letter of the Quran being recited in taraweeh. I want to hear every letter that is being recited in the taraweeh. And likewise, I will not miss any fast. As far as roza and fasting is concerned, just like how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when your child is 7 years old, you must command your child to perform his or her salah. And when the child is 10 years old, you must reprimand the child and make the child perform his or her salah. So in the same strain, with regard to fasting, we must encourage our children when they are from the age of 7 or even before also, to fast and to keep roza. So that it becomes part of the system. And don't worry, your children won't die. The amount we eat at the time of iftar and sehri, the days are so short of it. We won't even feel the fast. Basically, we're just skipping a meal. In reality, if you look at it, we're only skipping a meal. And yet Allah is giving us so much. Allah is blessing us so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzibi. Fasting is for me and I personally will reward the person for fasting. Allah says, I will personally reward the person. This is the king of all kings, Malikul Mulk. He will reward you personally on the day of Qiyamah. In fact, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will make an announcement. Where are those who fasted for me? They will be granted entrance to Babur Rayyan, a special door in Jannah which has been reserved only for those that fast. So we must encourage our children. Sahaba Ikram used to encourage their children to fast. And likewise, we must also encourage flimsy excuses. My child is still small, has to go to school, has to do this, do. On flimsy excuses, the mothers say, no, keep one day, leave one day. There are so much of benefits to fasting. Nothing will happen to your child. The child won't die. Encourage them to fast. And as far as our baligh sons and baligh daughters are concerned, then for them we have to reprimand them, encourage them, and advise them. And let them fast. Make sure that they fast. And unfortunately, you'll find in the month of Ramadan, everybody's ulcer starts. Everybody this starts and that starts. Therefore, the ulama have explained that we should get the opinion of a pious Muslim doctor with regard to whether you can fast or you can't fast. You cannot take the opinion of a non-Muslim doctor with regard to whether you should fast or you shouldn't fast. Because he doesn't understand the value of fasting. He doesn't understand the value of fasting at all. Yes, a pious Muslim doctor who understands the value of roza, he understands the value of sawm, that it is farz, it is from amongst the obligations of a mu'min and a believer. He will advise you accordingly. Perhaps he will give you some medication which you'll take at the time of sehri, at the time of iftar, and perhaps before you go to sleep. So we should take their advice. And we should encourage others also to fast. Together with that, the tilawat of the Quran, where each individual has to make an azam, that minimum one khatam of the Quran. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi say, The minimum right of the Quran is that you make 2 khatams of the Quran for the year. That's the minimum right. If you haven't done that, you have not fulfilled the right of the Quran. You have usurped the right of the Quran. And we want Allah to elevate us. Allah will elevate us by means of this kitab. Otherwise, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. On the day of Qiyamah, we are desirous of the shafaat and the intercession of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not want Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to complain against us. But a person who shuns the Quran, neglects the Quran, is not interested in the tilawat and the recital of the Quran, the Rasul of Allah is going to complain against him. And he's going to say, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. That my people had shunned the Quran. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will complain against them. So we should make an effort, minimum one khatam, that's the minimum. Because Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah says, one for the month of Ramadan and one for the rest of the year, that's the basic right of the Quran. Other than that, we should have targets where we will read more than that, 2, 3, 4, 5 khatams of the Quran. In fact, it will be good for us to have a type of a competition in the home where the mother will read so many khatams, and the son will read so many, the daughter will read so many, husband will read so many khatams. And there should be the environment of the tilawat of Quran. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. This is a month of Quran. It's Shahru al-Quran also. So therefore, let us make it a point of at least making some khatam of the Quran, one khatam or as many as we can. For those who cannot read Quran for some reason or the other, perhaps they are new in Islam, or for some reason or the other, we don't know how to read Quran. First of all, let us make an azam, an intention, firm intention. In the month of Ramadan, we'll make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, that we will learn Quran. We will learn how there are many huffaz, there are many ulama that are prepared to teach you. It is only for you to take out some time. Take out some time. So that you may learn Quran. Every day if you take out half an hour for the learning of Quran, or 1 hour for the learning of Quran, by the end of the year, inshallah, within 1 or 2 years, you'll be able to read Quran. But for now, that you don't know how to read Quran, at least this much you should do. Showing the azmat of the Quran so that Allah will give you tawfiq of learning Quran also. At least this much you should do. Take out some time in the month of Ramadan. Make wudu. Face the Qibla direction. Open the Quran. Look at the words of the Quran. Put your finger on the words. And at least say that this is the word of my Allah. هَذَا كَلَكَّلَامُ رَبِّي. These are the words of my Allah. And run your finger through all the words of the Quran. With this, inshallah, Allah will give you tawfiq of learning how to read Quran also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to draw as much as we can from the barakat and the blessings that are going to descend in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.